Did you know that every major diaper company either financially or vocally supports abortion? If that appalls you, and you're looking to support a baby brand that aligns with your pro-life, pro-family views, then Every Life is your solution. Every Life firmly believes that regardless of where someone is from, what they look like, or whether they were planned or unplanned, every baby is a miracle from God worthy of love, protection, and celebration. Every Life offers high-performing, supremely soft, premium diapers and wipes delivered right to your doorstep. Their diapers are crafted without fragrances, dyes, lotions, latex, parabens, or phthalates. And you can feel good knowing that every purchase with Every Life contributes to changing lives through their support of pro-life organizations and pregnancy resource centers. Every Life is not just changing diapers, they're changing lives. Visit everylife.com to learn more. That's everylife.com. And don't forget to use promo code Duffy10 for an exclusive 10% discount on your first order today.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to From the Kitchen Table. I'm Sean Duffy, along with my co-host for the podcast, my partner in life, and my wife, Rachel Campos Duffy.
Well, it's so good to be back, Sean, at our kitchen table with all of our listeners. And today we have a story that is just incredible. And you and I have been on it since we heard the news broke. And of course, that is the FBI raiding the home of a pro-life activist, guns blazing, kids there. We're lucky enough that we got the attorney for Mark Houck, and his attorney's name is Peter Breen. And we are so grateful to have you on the podcast. Peter, welcome to the kitchen table.
Great to be here. Thanks, guys.
Peter, just to let you know up front, we always comment about how we'd love to have people actually with us together at our kitchen table. But just so you know, both Rachel and I are like so sick right now.
Yeah,
you don't want us to hack on you. So yeah, you are blessed as we are to not
be
virtual with us.
We're both so sick and we sound a little nasally, and that's why. But we, even though we're sick, we had to have you on because we think this is a new, you know, this is next level stuff. We were shocked by the Mar-a-Lago raid. We were all this stuff going on, but this is next level. So why don't you just, if you don't mind, just lay out for us what happened.
Okay. And so it starts back in October of 2021, altercation on the sidewalk between Mark Houck and an abortion escort. Now, long-term history, both of them had been out there for years. So this was not, these are not people that are unfamiliar. The abortion escort had approached Mark's 12-year-old son who was with him and was harassing him. Mark defended his son. Well, and some of the words, you know, I want to be a little careful about what I can say or not say. It was certainly the sort of thing that you would not want a 72-year-old man coming up to your 12-year-old son and saying while you're there. And so it's and some of the words I've heard reported, you know, I can't say on a family radio program. So we just, but again, it was the sort of thing, you know, it was well away from the entrance to the abortion facility. There were no patrons of either the abortion facility or the crisis pregnancy center across the street. And so it was a targeted harassment by the alleged victim. So we have said very clearly, whatever happened here, and there was, you know, there was a physical touching, but whatever happened here, the alleged victim was the aggressor. And so in that case, it is at worst a local matter. And the local DA in Philadelphia, the alleged victim, tried to get the local DA to prosecute. They declined to prosecute. Then he filed a private criminal complaint, which is only some states allow that, but that's where a private person can actually initiate a complaint. That case was eventually thrown out of court because the alleged victim did not show up to his hearings.
And the DA, by the way, was a George Soros like
aligned
DA, so like
Krasner,
it's not like you had some pro-life DA helping you out here,
right? So what, I was in Philadelphia on Tuesday and, you know, really meeting the family and talking with everybody, and I realized that this is Krasner, who is one of the big Soros, you know, multi-million dollar DAs. So yeah, no friend of pro-life, certainly. And so if he declined to, you know, his office declined to prosecute, clearly they're looking at it going, I mean, it's unfortunate, you know, 99.9% of the time outside of the nation's abortion clinics, You know, there's no incidents, but occasionally you'll have a little, you know, little interaction because folks get into each other's personal space. This happens. It's, if it is a crime, the local folks deal with it. Here, case was thrown out. Certainly under no circumstances was a federal offense, even should it have even been contemplated here.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. Just so I understand the facts and kind of where people were. You have your client and his son at the clinic. Were they chanting there? Were they with signs? Were they yelling at people? Or were they praying? What were they doing? Right. And I think that's important. And what did they approach this alleged victim, or did the victim approach them? Because I think that's really important when you look at the law. What was your client's action? Were they responding to someone approaching them, or were they actually approaching someone who was an escort bringing, you know, expecting mothers into the clinic?
See, and this is the thing. Our protagonist and his son were standing praying on the corner, well away from the entrance of there's an abortion facility at this particular corner in Philadelphia. There's an abortion facility, and across the street, they set up a pregnancy help center. So they were on the corner of the street with the abortion facility, but the abortion facility gates are well down the block. They're standing there. The antagonist, the alleged victim, approaches them, stands next to the son, and is harassing the son. And so that was how the incident began. At that point, there is no issue about restricting access to abortion, keeping folks from abortion clinics. You know, the federal law on this is meant to deal with, in the old days, folks would have mass protests. They would have sit-ins in the abortion clinics. You know, and they took their cue from the civil rights protesters in the, you know, 50s and 60s. Yeah. Right. So and unfortunately, instead of dealing with that in a different way, you know, the Clinton administration had full control of the Congress. They were able to pass this act back in 94 before the Republicans took over. And so they federalized that action, made it a federal felony. Well, two people on a sidewalk praying. So you've got, you know, Mark praying, his son praying next to him. Then the antagonist approaches. At that point, there is nothing about abortion that is involved in this controversy, especially when both Mark and our antagonist have been outside this clinic for years. Philly DA doesn't do anything. Local courts throw it out. And so we figure, you know, our client figures, you know, look, we're finished up. And we as his lawyers are going, well, the matter's closed. Then a target letter is received. And so when you have someone under investigation by the federal government, they are supposed to issue a target letter in most circumstances. And so the target letter says, we're looking at, Mr. Houck for violations of the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, called the FACE Act. And the letter itself says, hey, we'd like to speak to your attorney. So on our team, we have incredible senior counsel, Matt Heffron, who was a 15-year federal prosecutor in Arizona. I mean, putting some of the worst people imaginable behind bars. So we got a hardened former federal prosecutor. He responds, and in the letter that he responds, he says two things. One, 3 years ago, just 3 years ago, Thomas More Society attorneys won a FACE case on similar facts in the Eastern District of Pennsylvania in 2019. Same sort of thing, where there was a physical altercation on the sidewalk between an abortion escort and a pro-life sidewalk counselor, but it's not a FACE claim. So we said that. Number one, you've got no case here. There's no federal offense here. But number two, if you decide to indict regardless, we will present Mr. Houck in response to a summons, which is a standard way you do it in the federal system. So, and that was what we offered. The next we hear, and you know, we made phone calls, no response. The next we hear is, we have your client in custody, you know, 3 months later, this past Friday.
Unbelievable.
And wow. And that's when we get to this issue of the raid and the it's the sort of thing. It was a little after 7 o'clock in the morning, the Philadelphia time, and you know, the family is, you know, you're just kind of getting up, and there are, you know, pounding on the door like they're going to break the door down. you know, open up, you know, the standard stuff. And, you know, Mr. Houck opens the door. You have numerous agents with guns pointed at Mr. Houck and into the house. And, you know, they take him into custody with his wife looking on. The children are there, you know, at the top of the staircase. And you know, the reports, and I mean, I hate to use the word screaming, but I mean, the children were very, very frightened.
Of course they were. Of course.
And looking out on their lawn. So if you can look out their front door, they live in a rural area, a couple hours outside of Philadelphia. And if you were to look out on their lawn, 15 law enforcement vehicles, agents in with riot shields, blast shields, helmets, long guns. I mean, the full compliment that you would send to a drug lord or a mafia don
or Hunter's house. I'm sorry, but this is just so crazy. I just can't imagine what must have been like for the wife, the kids, and the dad. I mean, I'm in shock.
And I have to tell you, we've been at this Thomas More Society for about 25 years. I mean, we have never, ever had a situation like this where they've sent this kind of force out for one of our clients. And we've defended face cases under the Obama administration and you know, all of that. And we are now too in other jurisdictions. But it was outrageous. And I have to tell you, I'm so glad that members of Congress have stepped up. But I will say, I've had, you know, inquiries from congressional staff going, is there some reason why they sent those folks? Because they can't believe it themselves. And I'm going, no. I mean, you've got a pillar of the community, family man, who is a Catholic evangelist. I mean, he's a very peaceful guy. Like there's no there. You know, everybody's waiting for, oh, well, we found out some terrible thing. And like, nope, not really. No. I mean, what you see is what you get with Mark and his beautiful wife, Ryan Marie, and their seven kiddos. Just a pillar of the community.
We'll have more of this conversation after this.
Did you know that every major diaper company either financially or vocally supports abortion? If that appalls you and you're looking to support a baby brand that aligns with your pro-life, pro-family views, then Every Life is your solution. Every Life firmly believes that regardless of where someone is from, what they look like, or whether they were planned or unplanned, every baby is a miracle from God worthy of love, protection, and celebration. Every Life offers high-performing, supremely soft, premium diapers and wipes delivered right to your doorstep. Their diapers are crafted without fragrances, dyes, lotions, latex, parabens, or phthalates. And you can feel good knowing that every purchase with Every Life contributes to changing lives through their support of pro-life organizations and pregnancy resource centers. Every Life is not just changing diapers, they're changing lives. Visit everylife.com to learn more. That's everylife.com. And don't forget to use promo code Duffy10 for an exclusive 10% discount on your first order today.
So, well, here's what I guess, and I didn't practice federal law as a state prosecutor, you know, but it begs the question, when is the SWAT team called up for an arrest? Because I would think a lot of people, you could just send an agent to the door and say, listen, we're going to bring you in, or allow him to present himself.
She offered to do, right?
But this idea that because, you know, you're going to arrest someone, that you send the SWAT team, to your point, as if you're going to arrest a drug lord. This is like one of the cartel members.
El Chapo.
Yeah. Or MS-13, you know, members. I would get that. But I mean, is this standard procedure that the SWAT team goes out to a guy's house to arrest him who has offered to present himself if they're going to charge him? I mean, what's the procedure?
Well, you can. I don't want to go too far down the road of it, but you can imagine how that situation could have gone very, very wrong.
Very wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, for heaven's sakes, it put the Houck family in unnecessary danger. Frankly, if in a different situation, it might have put the agents in danger. Again, I mean, you have an exceptionally peaceful man, so there was no risk there. But why would you send this group out? You know, we're still looking for answers. And I know members of Congress have asked that of the Attorney General. In fact, there was just a letter yesterday afternoon. Senator Grassley, you know, very well respected, sent a detailed letter, you know, with some really pointed questions to the Attorney General. And while obviously under the current administration or the current control of the House and Senate, you know, you're not going to see, you may not see action. Boy, if you put Senator Grassley back in the chairmanship or in some position where he can drive an investigation, I would expect to see one.
Let's hope so, because there's been 18 arson vandalism cases since Roe versus Wade that Jane's Revenge, which is this pro-choice group, has actually taken responsibility for. I've never seen any charges against them. I've never seen
attacking
pro-life centers. Yes. I've never seen the FBI go after them. We still don't know who the leaker is on the
Dobbs decision at the Supreme Court.
Exactly. So it just seems like so one-sided, and obviously they're trying to send a message. Is that the conclusion that your team has come to? This is on purpose to send a message
that you're on the wrong side of this administration, which means you're on the wrong side of the law, even though you might not have broken the law.
Exactly.
Here's what we found out on the day of the indictment. The press was being run out of Washington. So normally these are run out of each district. So wherever the prosecution occurred, the local U.S. Attorney's office runs it. They run the media. The media on this was run out of Washington. And in one of the releases, it said that leading the case will be a senior trial attorney from the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C. That doesn't happen in a normal case like this. And so what that made clear for us is, and then you look at the number of agents on scene, that could not have been approved or would not have been approved by a local U.S. attorney. That was something that came out of Washington, D.C. And you don't send that kind of response without people pretty high up knowing what's going on, signing off on it. I mean, it may have gotten to the Attorney General. We don't know. It certainly would have been at the level of his top lieutenants to do something like this. And so that is where we're looking at it going, you can't draw any other conclusion but that this raid and the force used was intended to send a message, whether it's to people of faith, pro-life folks, don't mess with us. And so that is, you know, that's the message. Certainly it's sending to just regular folks sitting there, you know, enjoying your morning coffee, wondering if you're going to have 20 federal agents banging your door down and dragging you out at gunpoint.
My mom has prayed in front of these kind of clinics so many times. And, you know, I just think could that happen to anybody who goes outside to pray outside of a clinic? I mean, what's happening
in Biden's America? It's possible. Here's what gets me, Peter. I'm like, okay, you have this altercation outside of an abortion clinic, not by the gates, by three men, abortion activists, the antagonist, who's saying horrible things to, you know, the defendant's son, which, by the way, I think any father, if their child was being confronted in this vicious, I'm happy we're not going to say it here, but I've read the reports of what was being said to the 12-year-old child, right? And so the dad steps in and pushes this guy down. He falls down. I think he fell down. The response is the U.S. Attorney for the United States of America out of Washington, D.C., sends 20-plus federal agents with guns pointed at this guy's head to his home and arrests him, and then puts him in shackles, and he has a belly chain. And this is how he's treated when there was an altercation that didn't affect any woman's right to go into the clinic and have an abortion. This is what they do to him. This is, I can use profanity. This is insanity.
It really, I have to say, so the what was done, I mean, absolutely, it should shock every American, whatever your position on abortion. It should shock. I am hoping that maybe they overplayed their hand. So they wanted to send out a show of force to show how much they, you know, that they love abortion and what have you, from the Biden administration. I am hoping that more civil libertarian minded folks on the left look at this and go, you know, I don't want to live in that country either. So maybe I am hoping that for all of the trauma that they put the Houck family through, they put Mark through, that maybe a silver lining will come out of this, where we get a consensus in this country that we are not going there. Like, you crossed a line, get back over to the other side and cut it out. That is really my significant hope.
That's your hope. But do you really believe that will happen? Because I believe this was, first of all, a message to their base to say, listen, we're going to, as you said, we love abortion and we're going to make sure that we fight these people. But I think the humiliation, the force, all of it was so intentional. And I do not think, I mean, there really are no more people on the left who are willing to stand up against these kinds of injustices and this kind of, you know, show of force against somebody who's peacefully protesting if it's on the other side. I just don't think I've seen, you know, other than, you know,
Bill Maher.
Yeah. Who's the attorney that we have on Fox sometimes? Dershowitz. Yeah. That's about it. I've not seen it. I mean, are you really that hopeful? I mean, are you, I know you're saying that, but are you genuinely think there are enough liberals out there who still are traditional liberals in the sense that you and I remember the classic liberals who see that this is not right?
They're not going to talk about it because of the, you know, the fear that's been put into people's minds and hearts, you know, that they don't speak out now. But I know enough, you know, folks, and you know, I know people in the FBI and everything else. They don't go in for this. And if we can ensure that there is significant media coverage, pushback, and I'll tell you, some of the other media outlets are not covering this. So that's, you know, that's the new tactic on the left, is just silence it.
Yes.
But you know,
it didn't happen.
Yeah, right. It didn't happen. Couldn't have happened. You know, it was funny when Ryan Marie was quoted in one of the early media releases. You know, that's Mark's wife. She said there were 25 agents, and the FBI said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa! There were no more than 15 or 20." And you're sitting there going, "Like, that's your defense, really?"
I think they're also trying to say that the guns weren't pointing at his head, but you know, they were sort of pointed down. I mean, they're trying to backtrack this, but it's obvious.
But Peter, I think it's a really good point. And media attention around this is really important. And again, if you're the family, you very well may not want to, you know, be involved in the media and tell the story, but it is so important to make sure this doesn't happen again, that most Americans, good-minded Americans, to your point, understand that this is happening. And I hope, because when I was in Congress, I had this idea that, you know what? I don't want to treat the Democrats poorly, because at one point I'll be in the minority and I don't want them to treat me poorly. And that might not have been the purest way to do things, but I'm like, I got to be concerned about how what I do can actually come back to haunt me later on. I think Democrats should look at this too, to go, hey, if we use law enforcement like this for political purposes against Republicans, there could be a day that Republicans actually use this against us. And to your point, that's not an America that any of us want to live in.
And I'll tell you, you know, I do have reason for hope, because during the Obama administration, they tried a similar tactic, although they were using civil face cases filed across the country. And we were able to beat them in a very high profile case in Denver. Another of our colleagues was able to beat them in a high profile case in Florida. And after those two significant losses, they backed down. And that was in about between 2010 and 2012. So second term Obama, we didn't have an issue with this, because we beat them in a public way. And so what we are doing for Mark, we have hired the best criminal defense attorney in Philadelphia. He's one of the best in the country, frankly. You know, and he's not a cause person like me. So I've got my whole Thomas More Society team, you know, we're deploying to assist, but we've hired the best. And we've set up a website, Defend Life Today.
Good. I wanted you to put that up there. Say that again for our listeners.
Yeah. DefendLifeToday.com. DefendLifeToday.com. And that way folks can help us. Because, look, this is our way of dealing with this is, I mean, hey, we've got some of the best lawyers in the country at Thomas More. I'll put our guys up against anybody.
Yeah.
But to have the finest criminal defense attorney in Philadelphia, you know, the guy that when people have, you know, when the stars get into trouble, like they call him, you know, having somebody like that and sending a message, frankly, to the DOJ, we are not going to take this lying down. And, you know, good luck finding someone who is as skilled as our guy in the courtroom in Philadelphia. You know, he speaks the language, which, you know, every town like that has a different dialect, but he speaks Philadelphia,
He speaks Philly.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. It's a very unique place. And I'm from Chicago. So I know of like, you know, you don't send a stranger into Chicago. Don't send a stranger into Philly. So, you know, that's what we're doing to respond. And so by using, you know, by using our defendlifetoday.com to be able to help, you know, fund that strong defense, what I'm hoping is we, you know, as the Congress and others are trying to call, you know, call the U.S. attorney and the attorney general to account, we can be beating them in the courtroom.
There used to be a time when the ACLU did that, but now we have to have the Thomas More Society and other places defend.
You mentioned the contribution. This is like a contribution page that people can go to. This is not a GoFundMe page, because I imagine GoFundMe would not allow your page to go up.
Right. No, no. Well, yeah, you get a tax deduction for this one. So it's really, So we're a 501c3. So this is, it was funny. Folks were saying, well, Thomas More Society, because it's tough to spell, because More is with one O. Sometimes folks spell it with two, sometimes with one. So I just give them a different name. And so it goes to a page that we've specially set up on our website that, that will, you know, kind of tell you about the case. You can contribute to help, but it'll, you know, keep folks updated specifically about this matter.
Yeah, I mean, so important for conservatives to fight back, and the Thomas More Society is one of the ways that you can defend your civil rights, your liberties.
And sometimes people don't want to lend their voice or their social media platform, but they can give their dollars to those who are fighting on the front line, because I think to both your point, Peter and Rachel, this is the new battleground. And if we're going to defend America for the next generation, you got to win these kind of fights.
So this family must know that they are they are on the forefront of probably one of the most important issues, I think, of our time. How are they doing? How are they handling?
How are the kids?
Yeah. How are the kids? But also, how are they handling just being at, you know, the tip of the spear here on this matter? Because I think all of us have kind of thought this was coming, and now it's here.
I'll tell you something. Since Friday, and I can only speak for myself and kind of, you know, the other folks involved, pretty much everything, you know, like I've been traveling around, we've been doing a lot of work. There were a lot of places where things could have gone sideways, or just even little stuff could have gone wrong, and everything has fallen into place just right. So I think they are very faith-filled people. And I think, you know, the good Lord is smiling on them right now for the suffering that they are undergoing. You know, they have, they've got 7 kids from 13 down to 2. So they are right in the thick of it, with the little guys. And, well, you know,
they have us beat, Peter. That's impressive. We have 9, but 7 from 13 down to 2. Wow.
Yeah,
it's a tight, incredible. that's a pretty, pretty quick succession there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. All in a row. And, the way Ryan Marie puts it is the older kids are able to process. So imagine, you know, you are watching your father, the head of your family, being taken out of your home in handcuffs by your entire front lawn, covered with agents, guns, the whole 9 yards. The older ones are able to process to some extent. You know, we're getting counseling. They're getting counseling and going to do more of it. The younger ones, it's a problem. And I've got a 4 and a 6-year-old. I can't even imagine how you would begin to explain it to them. So that is, that's the situation they're facing right now. I got to tell you, I we're talking, you know, now with some really high powered senators and congressmen getting on this, I'm heartened. I would love a day where Congress brings the attorney general in front of it and then asks the Houck family to come so that he can personally apologize to them. For the harm that he and his administration and his Department of Justice have done to them.
Wait right there. We're going to have more of that conversation next.
Is it weird that Merrick Garland has said nothing since this has happened? I mean, is that what you expected, or should he have come out?
DOJ media has been very aggressive out of Washington. So, you know, the idea that the FBI the FBI found it, or DOJ found it important enough to correct 25 down to, well, 15 to 20. I mean,
right.
That is nitpicking of the level the federal government usually does not do. And so they are, I would imagine, you know, the media shop is certainly on high alert. And look, you know, this is the sort of thing, you know, the attorney general has now been asked by a couple different sets of members of Congress to answer. And he's getting real particular questions that if I were him, I would not want to get. And by the way, this was an interesting thing. Senator Grassley's letter yesterday with 10 or so senators along with him, it mentioned very specifically that the AG had put in place a force reduction policy. I'm not totally familiar with it, and I haven't had time to research it. But apparently where they were trying to de-escalate, you know, this is the theme of the left was, well, we want to de-escalate these law enforcement situations.
Right.
And so this raid actually appears to violate the policy he just put into place a few months ago.
Yeah, if that's de-escalation, I don't know what de-escalation is.
De-escalation for one ideology, and then not escalation if you're run amok from the regime's point of view. I think it's fascinating what's going on. Again, just really quickly, wrap up for us why this should matter to all of our listeners. And maybe they go, I don't pray in front of abortion clinics, or I don't. Just give us your summation of why this matters to everyday Americans, particularly if you're a conservative, and then tell us how they can help.
Sure. And you know, the way we do it, the way I look at it in these cases is pick the issue you care the most about that you are willing to go out and stand on a sidewalk or give money or what have you. And then insert that in the place of, say, abortion or pro-life. Why is it that if your issue, you know, folks might, you know, you would be subject to some sort of law enforcement action for your stand on, again, whatever issue you care the most about. I mean, everything from animal rights to Ukraine to anything else. Well, if the federal government or state government can come after you because of your witness on that particular issue, your donations, we saw just like the Canadian truckers, what have you.
Yeah.
And send 20 agents or 25, however, whatever the actual number was, to your door with heavily armed and drag you out. And then what? We have to go and, you know, I mean, we've had to do a lot of work to, you know, to come around Mark and his family. So that is the sort of thing. It touches every American that once these lines get crossed, it's hard to uncross them. And so what we have to do is make a very vigorous, heavy public showing. This is not right. We're not going to take this, so that the federal government and the folks inside it do kind of the same thing they did in the Obama administration when we faced a similar issue with this act. Back off. We have to make them back off. You know, in politics, nothing moves unless pushed. And so we are pushing back strongly in court through our legal efforts. You know, there's folks, you know, the politicians, I'm loving what they're doing too. It's very helpful. And so that's why we, you know, again, this defendlifetoday.com is really the way most folks can get involved, because you can't be in the courtroom with us.
Right.
But you can certainly be supporting, and please do, if you are the type that prays, go ahead and please pray for the Houck family. You know, pray for, I'd be glad to get prayers too, even though I'm a lawyer.
We'll be praying for you.
For us. We appreciate it. Yeah. Cause everything's working so far, and I think.
I love your optimism. I mean, you talk about these letters that they're sending, and they're so good. And I have to tell you, and Sean maybe feels differently than I do, but I'm so sick of the letters. I feel like it's like the letters get written and they don't respond to them. And like Merrick Garland has, I know they're supposed to do them. I know that there's a process, but maybe we just have to wait till midterms.
Yeah, because they can't do anything
but
write letters.
It's so frustrating. It's so out of control. Like, I can't believe that the world's not on fire with this. Like, I think this is the most important thing, because just think, Peter, they started with calling parents who were opposed to CRT and transgender ideology and drag shows in their kids' schools. They call them domestic terrorists, and everything has just kept escalating and escalating. It's like this slow boil. And here we are. This is something I never thought would happen in America.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine? So one of the, you know, you just mentioned it, altercation at a school board, and all of a sudden you get 20 federal agents outside your house dragging you away to charge you with something that is not a federal crime.
People won't go to school board meetings, and then they want people to not go and pray or protest in front of abortion clinics. They're trying to scare us.
I'll say this. I do fully, as a former politician myself, the letters, you send a lot of letters and they aren't necessarily, they don't necessarily mean anything. In this particular case, I'm reading these letters and they are well crafted, and they are particular.
Glad to hear that.
Yes, these actually, I think, are landing with some force behind them in a way that the normal letter might not.
Well, Peter, I agree with you. Not because the letter does anything, but lets Merrick Garland know that, hey, listen, there's a midterm set of elections coming in the first week of November, November 8th. And by the way, when we take power, you're one of the first guys we're calling in, and we are going to hold you to account. That's the kind of force that's behind those letters, and that will happen with both in the House and in the Senate. And to your point, well-crafted letters mean there's a lot of thought going into this, Peter, and how they're going to go after Merrick Garland for his abuse of power. And I think that's important because sometimes I was in Congress. You can kind of whip slap some letters together and send them out. It appears that this is not what was done.
But what happens even when he gets into the hearing?
This
though,
is thoughtful. Well, listen,
when he gets into the hearing and we see them being grilled, then what happens?
Because it goes back to an original point that Peter was talking about. The left, the media on the left, is not covering this. They want to hide it. They want to put us in fear. They don't want to actually talk about the story. And the job here is to make sure everyone knows what the Joe Biden DOJ under Merrick Garland is doing to Americans, to pro-lifers, to speech, to freedom, to parents, to Peter Navarro, to Donald Trump. We have to talk about it, and it's all facets. It's what I think what you're doing, Peter, with the Hauck family, and the lawsuit. It's what members of Congress are doing. It's podcasts and TV networks. But then it's also those hearings are going to be important because it's hard for the left and the media to ignore those hearings and what actually happened.
Yeah, especially if he brings in
and
the
that's
Hauck,
when
Hauck
people
family
become enraged by again, a dad of seven kids, Peter, I mean, guns pointed at his head with 15 or 20 agents, 15 cars. I mean, I think most Americans are like, what is going on? And I think that's the power. This story is a powerful story. And we're grateful, Peter, that you're telling it, that you're part of the team, that you're given your God-given resources and skills to help the family out. We're grateful for that.
Yeah,
and I'm honored you guys wanted to bring me on to do a long form to really explain this to folks. This is the first one we've done, so first long form real interview directly about the situation. So great to be on you guys' podcast, which my wife loves. I listen to it as much as I can, but she listens much more religiously than I do.
We appreciate that. And when we get better, because we're not that far away from the Philly area, we'll have to have our actual cup of coffee.
Well, are you in Chicago?
In Chicago?
Yeah, I'm in Chicago. Yeah,
right.
In Chicago. Our daughter went to Chicago, the University of Chicago. We tried to get her out quickly. It's devolving there. But that's maybe a different podcast.
Can I just say before we go, because this is something I want to bring up. On the same weekend that this happened, there was amazing footage coming out of Philadelphia of, tons of kids, young people storming a Wawa?
Wawa, yeah.
And stealing. And so this is a city that has real crime. And real problems. And this is what they're going after. And this is what the DOJ is focused on when we have, terrorists coming across the border and everything else. I think this is an amazing story. We hope we're shining a little bit of light on this and helping people realize, I think this might be the most important story right now in America.
It is. So listen, Peter, thank you for joining us. Thanks for your good work. Stay safe in Chicago too. It's a dangerous place as well.
I know. Well, yeah, that's another podcast. Yeah.
And when the time comes, just go a little further to the north and spend a lot of that hard earned cash up in Wisconsin to help our economy out. We always appreciate that.
Man, I love the beer, brats and cheese. Yes.
There we go.
A
man after my own heart. Right. Well, Peter, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you being at our kitchen table. And again, thank you for your good work. And hello to your family and to your wife.
Absolutely. Great. One last time, tell our listeners how they can help out.
Right. DefendLifeToday.com. You can get updates and then help out if you can.
Awesome. Thank you. Can't think of a better cause.
Thank you so much. And if you like this podcast, you can rate, review, subscribe to From the Kitchen Table, wherever you get your podcasts. And give us that great rating. We appreciate you joining us for the second day in a row. And usually this was just our day to go kind of ourselves back and forth on a topic we pick. I was at dinner last night. I called Peter and he took my phone call and said, yep, I'll come on tomorrow and do the podcast. So we're grateful to Peter his effort. All right. You guys have a good one.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back. from the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com.